Well, today's message is called Not Every Godly Plan is God's Plan. And I know we've all had, you know, so many plans over our lives. I know, you know, when I was a little kid, I, you know, wanted to be a wrestler, or I wanted to, you know, write books, or, you know, you have so many plans. And you have plans that are God's plans. You know, he'll put in your heart that, you know, you want to, you know, go on a missionary trip, or you want to, you know, write albums, you want to, you know, do great things of God in your life. And, you know, there are times those plans don't always come to fruition. Yeah, I've had plenty of godly plans in my life that just, you know, haven't quite worked out. Not yet. And, you know, sometimes those plans may not have necessarily been God's plan. They were good godly plans, but they might not have been the exact trajectory that God wanted me to go on, or any of us. The only thing that kind of keeps me from being, you know, kind of sad or, you know, forlorn about missing out on some of these plans that I thought were great were the fact of knowing that God does have his plan, but we have to be open to moving and being shaken to move into God's plan and not necessarily what we wanted to do. You know, and there's tons of examples in the Bible about that. One in the Old Testament is Habakkuk. Habakkuk wanted the Israeli people to have deliverance. He wanted them to be able, you know, to overcome the sin that they were living in and what they were going through. But God told him that the Jewish people were not going to have deliverance at that time. They were going to go into Babylon. They were going to become, you know, slaves, and they were going to be conquered. And but one day that hope would come through, and it is part of God's plan to go through that hard thing. You know, and it took until Jesus came for, you know, that promise that God made Habakkuk to come true. And of course, when Jesus did come, that plan that that these godly people had, that wasn't quite what they were looking at either. You know, even the disciples, you know, so many of the Jewish people thought when the Messiah came that he would come and be an earthly king, that he would go to war against the Romans, that he would fight them, that he would take, you know, Jerusalem back, and he would be set back in the Temple of David, and he, you know, would be, you know, more of a military political conquest than, you know, God's only son giving his life for us on the cross. But that was God's plan, and God's plan works out pretty well. Another biblical example was in Acts 16:6. And that is Paul. At this time, Paul had been, you know, ministering all throughout, you know, kind of closer around Jerusalem and all that. But he was called to minister to the Gentiles, and he wanted to move into Asia. But, you know, God gave him a hard stop on that. He, you know, God told him, you know, you are not going into Asia right now. You've got to go, you know, you have another plan. God's plan was for him to eventually get to Rome. And, you know, eventually, you know, the gospel made it to Asia, but it wasn't Paul's time. And, you know, through all these biblical examples, you know, are great, but sometimes we need an example closer to home. And I'm going to read you something that I wrote a little over 10 years ago. And I wrote a blog during this time, you know, like everyone did, and, you know, 2010, that kind of time, you know. And The title of this one that I wrote was My Brother's Journey. So I'm going to read this one to you, just how I wrote it then. This blog is the first of many. Hopefully they will not be all on my page. Following an opportunity, Kenny, an amazing Christian and man who I have known almost 10 years, has had put before him. Kenny and I really started getting close when he was helping at our church food bank, the Springhouse. Kenny worked harder than almost anyone else and was always ready to help whenever I needed it. We grew closer over the years, and I had the opportunity to really help him mature in Christ when I first started working with the youth at our church. Kenny and I spent a lot of time together, and since he was a pretty young Christian, I was able to teach him how to pray and how to read his Bible and meditate on God's love. Since then, he has only grown more and more and been used mightily by God to touch people all over the United States and in Brazil by going on a global awakening trip with Randy Clark. This past month or two, he has really started to step out more, and because of his passion for Christ and obedience to the Lord, he has an amazing opportunity in front of him. This weekend, we had two pastors from Bulgaria with us Sunday morning, and they were also at a church in High Point we go to a lot, New Day, God used Emil and Nikki to really give a lot to both churches and encouraged us all to seek the gifts and lifted our faith levels with their testimonies. Thursday afternoon, Kenny and I had lunch together and both agreed that God was going to do amazing things this weekend, and Kenny even skipped a family camping trip to be at the service in High Point. Friday, Kenny and a few others went to the service in High Point, and Kenny received a word of knowledge about a pain in someone's right knee. Kenny and I prayed for a sweet lady that was having some pain, and God worked through our prayer to heal that lady. Sunday morning, Kenny stepped out and gave a word to the church during worship. These things are normal day-to-day things that Kenny, myself, and others at my church do, but the temptation to not step out in faith is always there. And if Kenny had not stepped out, he more than likely would not have had the opportunity placed in front of him that he now has. Sunday afternoon, I had a youth cookout, which went very well, and we all stayed at the church for the day to enjoy some rest and relaxation and fellowship. Pastor John went to lunch with Emil and Nikki. When Pastor John got back, he told me that he needed to talk to Kenny, because Emil was impressed with his obedience to God and really felt a connection to him, and wanted him to come to Bulgaria for 6 months to a year to establish a youth group at their church. To say the least, Kenny was completely floored by the news and excited. He now has the opportunity to really step out and influence a lot of people, and I am so unbelievably proud of him. I am, of course, also brokenhearted that I will more than likely not see my brother for a year while he does great things for God. If you're reading this, please pray for Kenny that he will get a clear word from God on whether or not to go. I am voting go right now. Kenny, I am so proud of you, and I'm honored to say that I'm your brother and proud that I helped you even a little bit in your walk with the Lord. Okay, so this was April 11th, 2011. Kenny did not go to Bulgaria for a year, which wouldn't have had him coming back until May 2012 or so. Instead, Kenny stayed home. And he didn't do this awesome godly plan. What he did do was go to a Bible study with Christian and this girl that he hadn't met named Elizabeth in December of 2011. Instead of going to Bulgaria and following what was an awesome godly plan, Kenny met Elizabeth. He met his wife, and they have an amazing, beautiful family that we are so honored to be. Yeah, that we're so honored to be around and be great friends with. So that is one of those examples. Like, anything at that time, you couldn't have told me that going to Bulgaria wasn't going to be an awesome thing for Kenny. I don't remember us really like talking about your decision process of not going. Was it just something that just kind of like petered out, or did you and Pastor John have a lot of conversation?
Yeah, we were praying about it, and we had to come up with the finances for it because they wanted us to completely wanted our church to support me financially for the entire thing the whole time.
It just wasn't enough donuts to sell.
Yeah, just not enough donuts to sell for that trip. Yep.
And that was one of those doors that was open that I wasn't supposed to walk through.
Yeah. Yeah. So you definitely took the right path, that's for sure. So, this plan that Kenny ended up not doing, and, Paul's plan for Asia were great plans. But it wasn't God's plan. If God is in it, it will be easy. You won't feel a ton of resistance. Although you will get resistance from the enemy, we don't live in a life where we don't have trials and tribulations. We have to live in the world. We have to be a part of it. So you may be asking yourself, how do I differentiate between really good godly plans and God's plan? So, we won't always know God's plan, but we're called to ask him what his plan is. And we can continually prepare and put ourselves in a position to carry out his plan. Of course, we all know that, God's master plan is clearly stated in the Great Commission. We're always supposed to be out saving the lost, teaching everything Jesus has taught us. But we all have a call. We've all felt something particular and wondered what's God's plan for us individually. Right. And we also wonder what our corporate plan for the church is. Amen. And, the beginning of a year, we're all, wondering, what does God have for this year? What's the marching orders, But I'm going to read the in Matthew, the Great Commission, right quick. It's Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So, you know, that's our marching orders. That's your baseline. And Sam and I have had a lot of conversations about that, because Sam has really helped me walk this out. She, over the years, has been like, "Yeah, you need to wait. You need to listen for God's plan." I'm a very zealous kind of person. I can be. I can just run full force and not even, you know, think about, you know, the little subtleties of what God's plan might be. I can get caught up in a really godly plan, but I can miss God's plan sometimes. And, you know, Sam has taught me to slow down. You know, I'll be frustrated because something's not moving fast enough. And she's like, "You know, have you prayed about that?" It's like, "Yeah, I pray about it, Sam. I've got the Bible. I know what I'm supposed to do."
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm supposed to go out and do all these things and, you know, preach to the lost, heal the sick, raise the dead. That's what I'm supposed to do. I don't need any, you know, other instructions. You know, I've got the, you know, basic instructions before leaving earth thing right here. You know, we're good. But no, we're not always good. That doesn't always cover what God is speaking for a season, what God is speaking for our lives. And, you know, last year, Ronnie, I believe, really had the word of the Lord for, you know, for that year, for that season. And, you know, God gave me parts of it. God gave Sam parts of it. He gave Lydia parts of it. Pastor John parts of it. You know, probably gave all of you parts of it. And, you know, that was, you know, to not be anxious, you know, to not worry about all the things, because God's going to provide for us. You know, and I still very much believe that is God's plan. I very much believe that we have not fully stepped into that. We're not. I know in my personal life, I am still not living, you know, without anxiety and without worry for the next day, even though I know God's got me. God's got my family. God's got my church. But I still struggle with that. It's because we're humans. We're going to struggle. That's just what is going to happen. But we have to continually pray. We have to continually remind ourselves of the promises and of the plans that God has given us. Now, this past, you know, like I said, I believe that last year's word is going to continue into this year. But I also believe that God gave me a part of something for this year coming up. Last Sunday, I was planning to go to the 10 a.m. prayer, but God called me up into the kind of the upper parking lot, just kind of walk around, and yeah, I felt like he wanted to tell me something. And as I walked up there, I felt a real peace come upon me. God just had me stand silently and just absorb that peace. You know, I've always enjoyed nature. Yeah, I grew up kind of on a little kind of farm. You know, just, my grandpa had a bunch of cows. You know, we always had huge gardens. You know, it wasn't like a working, you know, money-making farm. It was just country. So, you know, I've always enjoyed nature. I've always enjoyed hiking. And, you know, I have a real soft spot for just getting into nature and just listening. You know, and I'm up there standing, I'm just, you know, sipping my coffee, listening to a deer or a chipmunk or something rattle around in the leaves. And I just feel like God kind of quickened my heart to Psalm 23. And I'm going to read that again. And, you know, I usually use the NIV, but for this one I've got to use the New King James. That's how I memorized it years and years ago, and it's how it is in my head. So I'm just going to read this. I know we all know it. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I wanted to point out a couple spots in that psalm. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Of course, the Lord is a shepherd. You know, you can see shepherds throughout, you know, the Bible. It's always a theme that the Lord uses. And that shepherd, you know, protects us physically, but he also promises us that provision, which, you know, like I said, that's what we spoke about a lot last year. So I see that right in there, that it's part of that promise for this year coming up too. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters. Now, when I was walking around on my land that I grew up on, we had spots on our little creek that were still waters. Those still waters were always the deep parts. So right here, I'm seeing that the Lord is making us to lie down in the green pastures, in that open space, so we have that opening, you know, openness for vision. And he's leading us beside still waters. He's not leading us beside a raging river full of distraction and full of, you know, difficulty. He's leading us beside still waters where we're able to see the deep things of God. That water's not moving. That's the deep stuff. You know, we need to pray and we need to believe for God to show us the deep stuff this year. And he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. You know, just let, you know, I know in nature, I don't know if it, for some people enjoy hustle and bustle. You know, but I feel like a lot of people, when you walk out into nature, when you walk out beside still waters and green pastures, you feel a peace come upon you. You know, I can even drive up to Franklin County or drive up on the parkway, and that's just automatic peace, you know? I just want to put on some nice, good, soaking, you know, praise, you know, worship music and just, you know, just chill. So, you know, they, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, we've obviously been walking through the valley of the shadow of the shadow of death for the last couple of years, folks. I mean, it's just, we're not fully out of it, but we're being led by our good shepherd. We're being led through it because we have his comfort. And he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, just be prepared when everything else is going crazy around you. God's going to set you down with a table, giving you that provision, giving you everything you need, even though your enemies are all around you. Anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, anointing with oil, that's, you know, that's healing, that's the Spirit of God, you know, that's a mantle being passed. Your cup runs over, that's, you know, prosperity. I know Pastor John's talked about prosperity even in the past couple of weeks. And, you know, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. What else could we want but goodness and mercy to follow us all the days of our lives? So the other thing that God showed me that morning was that he really wanted us to find our identity. What were we truly made for? And take this back to basics, guys. We are made to love God and be loved by God. We were created in the garden, and we weren't supposed to lose that, but sin was too tempting, and we ended up in the state we are now in, where we are too concerned with busyness and everyday life. We end up having to carve out time for God, when all he wants is for us to love him and to for him to love on us. Yeah, we do have to engage in the world. Yeah, we have, you know, the living in a fallen world, we have to have jobs. We have to go to the grocery store. We have to do the mundane every bits of that. But doing that and having that closer relationship with God and being led by him, we're able to move into that constant state of prayer, where we are constantly communing with God in the little things that we do. If you're not able to go to the grocery store and see God in a tomato, yes, you know, you're missing something. I mean, God made that for us. He gave us that. You know, he gave us that. You know, Psalm 23 is telling us to be the sheep in this time and to be led by our Father. Yeah, we've all been through such an ordeal the last couple of years, you know, talking about that valley of death. You know, and a lot of times we're like scared sheep. And there's a movie, book, you know, classic lit story, Far From the Maddening Crowd. In that story, at the beginning of it, you know, this man is a shepherd. He's, you know, got a great flock. It's his ticket to having things in life. You know, that's his occupation. But something happens, and those sheep get out. And these sheep are so scared, so out of their mind, they ran directly off the side of a cliff. There was absolutely nothing this man could do. They were gone. You know, one of the guard dogs, you know, kind of went off, went off book and started barking and scared the sheep and broke the fence, and that was it. They were gone. This man's life was ruined. Yeah, he went through a really hard time in that story. So I may have a part of the plan, but I don't think my revelation that I had is the whole part of the plan or even a majority of the plan for this house. So how do we find out the rest of the plan? We have to do three things. We have to be faithful. We have to listen. And we have to be present. And being faithful, you know, Proverbs 19:21. You know, and that's, you know, for many of the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You know, we all make plans, but we have to make sure that the Lord's plan prevails. You know, it's in the Bible so many times. You know, Abraham and Sarah were faithful. You know, it took them a long time to get to God's plan, but they were faithful in that plan and didn't, you know, deviate from it too awful much. You know, we have to listen. You know, we have the Holy Spirit. That's where our church, this house, we can walk in this easier than some because we have the Holy Spirit. And that's how we are able to have that prayer without ceasing. It's how we're able to commune with God at all times. John 14:17. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And yeah, that's Jesus' promise that he's going to be sending the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us is able to commune with God because that's the same Spirit. Yeah, that's how you can walk around in Food Lion or Walmart and still feel the things of God because you have the Holy Spirit in you. Yeah, if you're just, you know, warming a pew, then you don't have that deep relationship. You know, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have the ability to have such a deep relationship. That's what makes us different. One of the many things that makes our house different is we're able to hear from God and we're able to move in God. Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit helps in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So we have to listen and we have to be faithful. We also have to be present. Church is like debriefing. You know, y'all know that I'm a major history buff. I love, you know, military history, things like that. So, you know, my prayer time, I felt like God was showing me that church is like a debriefing from a mission. Yeah, you have a company go out in war and they come back to headquarters after the war. It's not time to relax. It's time to reconvene and get the information from the battle that you were on and then get ready to go out for the next assignment. There is time to relax, but it's not while we're preparing to fight our battles. And what do we talk about? We talk about, you know, this is how we fight our battles. Yeah, we fight our battles on our knees. We have to come back to our headquarters, to this house, every week to turn in what we've done on our mission and our assignments for that week and get refilled, repurposed, and ready to move out onto our next mission. Because we are at war, folks. We're not at war with flesh and blood, but we are at war in the spiritual realm. You know, we all know there's so much going on in the world around us that it's obvious we're at war. Now, let me be really, really clear. Our war is not against a politician. It's not against a political party. We're doomed to miss what God has for us if we spend our prayer time concerned with what is going on in Washington or anywhere else in the physical. When we pray for our world, we need to pray against the principalities and powers that lead humans to engage in sin, not for ill tidings to come over them. We need to pray that we see people and our nation like Jesus sees them, and that's with love and compassion. We've already won the war. God promises us that we've won this war. We just have to stay together and try to save those that are lost in the world so they can be on the winning side at the end. Now, we'll never get that done if we're the opposite of what we are supposed to be. Amen. We are supposed to love our enemies. And if we're talking about them dying or having awful things happen to them, that's not love. You know, we can do better as Christians, as the entire world body of Christ. We can do better than to talk about bad things happening to people that are being influenced by bad spirits. We have to fight against the spirits, not against the people. So the final thing I want to ask y'all is, what kind of church do we want to be? I've got a lot more studying to do on the early church, but the research I've done is showing me things that, you know, almost concern me. And I feel like even our spirit-filled church that is on fire for God can sometimes miss the mark and move away from what God really called us to be. So let's look at Acts 2, 42 to 47. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So right there, you know, God's adding to their number day by day. You know, they're together. They're in fellowship. They're breaking bread together. They're doing things together. How much are we seeing each other other than Sunday morning and maybe a Tuesday prayer meeting?
Right.
Are y'all talking to each other?
That's right.
Yeah, we have groups where we're praying together and we're spending time together. Yeah. I'm not doing as good at this as I want to. I don't talk to Kenny and Elizabeth as much as I want to. There are times I know Elizabeth because I know your spirit. I feel it, you know? I get you, but I don't know you as well as I want to. Yeah, I'm sitting here reading my brother's journey about Kenny from 10 years ago, but I don't feel like I know you well enough, you know? You know, Josh, Liz, I mean, Liz and I, we've known each other all of our lives. But I don't know y'all like I want to know you, you know? We're friends. I love y'all to death, but I don't feel like I really know people. Like, I feel like we need to know people in the church to be able to move as a church body and to be able to be effective and to be able to grow this church and to bring people in. You know, I don't want a mega church. Let me be quite honest. You know, Pastor John and I have talked about this. I don't want a mega church. We want a church where we're able to equip people, where we're able to send people out, where we're able to be effective in this community and in this world. To do that, we might be small in numbers here, but we are mighty in God. We have the ability to touch this community and this world, but we have to be as one. And we have to come in here ready to lay our lives down as a sacrifice and to stoke revival fire. We talk about revival so much. I'm almost tired of talking about revival. Because we have to do what we have to do to actually see it and actually move into it. So we have to be here on Sunday mornings. We have to be here every time we can. Not everybody can be here all the time. I know that. Do not ever think I'm standing up here and telling you that no one's doing good enough. We are all doing good enough. We are all loved by God. We're loved by our Maker, and I love everybody in this room. We can just do more. You know, we can give more. You know, if there's anything in your life that is just even a peg higher, that takes more of your time than God, and you're not able to also meet God while you are doing those things, those are things that are idols in front of you. They're keeping you from fully communing with God and completely being in His Spirit. And it's keeping you from being able to hear God's plan for your life. It's keeping our church from being able to hear God's plan for our church. So I hope that as we leave and as we go out in our day, that we're able to think about ways like this Monday call. Great. You know, we have prayer on Tuesdays. We have encounter nights on Thursdays. We have home group at the Oddbergs. We have opportunities to be together, you know? And if you have something from God, if you feel like you have something, call me. You know, if you don't have my number, I'll gladly give it to you. Find me on Facebook. Find me anyway. I want to talk about this stuff. I want to pray it out with you. I want to pray this church into everything it needs to be. And that is, you know, that is my goal. That is what I love here. And the last thing that I want to leave you with is Revelation 4:1. How do we really find out God's plan? Jesus is telling John his revelation here to come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. So we have to come up. We have to be able to go up into the great things of God and to be able to be in those deep moments where we're able to be for God to show us what he wants to do. So, you know, let's get to this realm together through intentional praise and worship. You know, we're in a battle. We don't have time to be passive. We don't have time to be complacent. So that's, you know, being together, pouring out a real sacrifice of praise. That's how we go up into that realm. And that's how we're able to see his plan from that perspective.